dear Lord. What a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish. I'm being shady-ish.
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring!
You have to catch me first. I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun. I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome to Pulse of the Nation here on FUBAR Radio. I am indeed your host, Andrew White, and today I've got a jam-packed show full of brilliant guests. I've got the wonderful Abigail Shaman in the studio as my guest co-host today. We've got Nick Helm, previously of this parish, returning to FUBAR Radio later on in the show. I'll be excited to talk to him. And we've got a mystery guest who goes by the name of Kev Riley, an iconic, I think one of the most iconic images of British culture, perhaps maybe best known as a GIF from the show Come Dine With Me. That's all I'll say for now. We'll get into it a bit later. We'll find out if Abigail knows about Come Dine With Me and whether she's aware of Kev's oeuvre. I can't tease anymore because otherwise I'm just going to spoil it. So let's just get into the news and the headlines that have been happening all over the world. And the problem with a news theme show, and a weekly news theme show is imperative to keep up with the news. And it fluctuates wildly between dull and terrifying. I cannot stress how much I come in this week going, oh, how do I make this horrible thing palatable? Or how do I make this absolutely boring piece of legislation sort of vaguely humorous? And this week, it was an amazing combination of the both that was dull and terrifying, which was the sort of all eyes on Ukraine peace talks that were going on. Very long dragging peace talks between all the sort of UN nations and NATO. And it's going well. It's going very well. Hence this headline from just a few hours ago. NATO scrambles warplanes after Putin uses nuclear-capable strategic bombers. Hope you're all having a lovely Wednesday afternoon. Apparently, Putin's military action on Ukraine's western borders has raised an alarm in neighbouring Poland, a phrase that has reassuringly never preceded war before. Look, I don't want to victim blame here, but if Poland's neighbours keep starting global warfare, then maybe they should move, right? It's not a perfect solution, but a relocation of Poland to, I don't know, the Mediterranean might be the best move, right? It could be the fourth Balearic Island, Menorca, Mallorca, Ibiza, Poland. It rolls right off the tongue. Get out of there. Get away from Germany. Get away from Russia. Poland, please, for the love of God. And, you know, I don't really know whether I should actually be scared about all these rising tensions or whether the media is just so extreme in the way it talks about things. Because, you know, I think our tension measure has been so skewed by recent news. You know, you see headlines like how millennials killed mayonnaise. And it's like, if we can get a gauge on, like, you know, what's happening in the world, how can we do that when the language of murder is literally being used for condiments? You know, I remember a few years ago, the UK terror threat level was reduced from critical to severe. Well, thank God for that. I say, and it was very controversial because I've got a lovely American co-host in today, is that it's too much American influence, you know? I hate to say it, but I think British terror threat level should be much more like, oh, blimey, oh dear, that's sort of like, you know, carry-on sort of level of stuff. But our vocabulary, it shifted too far towards a sort of transatlantic extreme, you know? Everything is 10x, it's all very mega, everything's mega. And, you know, don't get me wrong, it's an all-right bus, but I do think it has gone too far. Speaking of American influence, we obviously should talk about the Gulf. Everyone's talking about the Gulf. Of course, the Gulf in capability between Trump and other world leaders. Yes, bit of comedy there for you. Yes, during Ukraine-Russia's peace summits, which frankly have turned into war troughs, Trump has been gently corrected by French Premier Emmanuel Macron over funding models for Kiev. Yes, I know it's pronounced Kiev, but we all said Kiev before the war. And if I may, GB News for a moment, it is woke nonsense just to copy the BBC war correspondent, right? You're not an intellectual just because you're echoing Clive Myers. Right, we all called it Kiev, and then Clive Murray went Kiev, and we're like, oh, I guess it's called Kiev. And yes, it technically is, but I don't know. I think you're just posturing and posing. Anyway, that's beside the point. Trump claimed in a press conference that Europe was only loaning the money to Ukraine in a bid to support his claims that US money should be rewarded with mineral resources. But Macron had to put his hand gently on the president's arm to correct him. Genuinely, like, you should see this sort of lean over moment. It's the footage alone. It's like a proper strained married couple retelling a holiday anecdote moment. You know, sort of leans over, hand on arm. Oh no, darling, that's not quite right. We went to the Potty Museum on the Wednesday, and you can see Trump seething in reaction to it as well, like cogs turning on how to insult him in a future tweet. That's the thing, is he's not processing like, oh, I'd love to process this information and use it to inform my decision making. No, he's thinking, how can I roast? He's like the most insufferable open mic comedian ever, just sat not engaging with the conversation, working out his next joke. Ooh, Macron, Hackron, Macron. Okay, yeah, that's good. We'll put that in the tweet drafts. So yes, it's been a bit of a hard week to write comedy for, and even sort of local news, like In the UK, the energy prices set to rise. Lovely bit of fun. Dwarfed by the impending threat of war, but still, households can potentially expect £100 a year extra under regulator Ofgem's new cap. Now, I'm actually very invested in house prices, in the energy prices at the moment, actually, because I very recently installed a smart meter. Yes, if you know what a smart meter is, it's a little device that turns you into a 50-year-old dad. I had this little screen for about a week before I was wandering around the house going, I didn't realise we were hosting Blackpool Illuminations this year. Just turning everything off at the wall. I couldn't stand a week and I was obsessed with this stupid little screen and its numbers. The other day I found myself bent down in my kitchen, staring at the smart meter, yelling at it as it counted up the pennies. You're the only fucker plugged in. So, you know, that's where I'm at mentally. It's been hard to write jokes for this week's story, for this week's stories. And to be honest, there are very few stories. You know, it's all sort of very doom and gloom. So much so that the Daily Mail, my most trusted resource of bullshit stories, had to lead with this this headline: American living in the UK leaves Brits puzzled after sharing his crazy hack. Now, the hack that he shared was a meal deal. This person had never experienced a meal deal before. But here's the crazy, like, you know, I say that they pull like absolute bullshit out to create the stories. This is genuinely from the Daily Mail article. In the clip, which racked up over 4,000 views. 4,000 views. That's nothing. That's not that. How is that now an entire dedicated news page about Americans not knowing the existence of a meal deal, just predicated off of 4,000 views? A toddler could accidentally post a video on your phone and get 50,000 views easily, like that. 4,000 views is nothing. Although, interestingly, the person who posted the story about the meal deal was actually Miles Mitchell, the Timothy Chalamet impersonator, previously on this radio station. So go back and check out that episode. And look, it's hardly going to bring the fury down to end with a parking story, but I will say that the London has just announced that price fines for parking infractions could go up to £160 this year, which, to be honest, I know I'm normally anti-parking fines, but it makes sense. First of all, it's going to a council rather than a private company, so I support that a bit. But also, sometimes parking in London is cheaper just to get a ticket than it is to get an actual parking, so they should fluctuate that. So there you go. It's very out of character for me. I'm angry about everything except parking this week. And very weirdly, I'm very angry about lots of American things, so maybe I should bring in my American co-host, Abigail Shaman. Hello.
Hello. Good to be here. It's fun now that Trump is president again. I go back to being the American correspondent and translator for all of my British friends, being like, why is this happening? And I do not have a degree in politics or economics or socioeconomics, but I do my best. I do my best to explain it all.
No, well, look, we're not a highfalutin intellectual show.
That's why I'm here.
But I suppose I should ask the big question.
Yeah.
How do you feel about meal deals?
I mean, I love a meal deal. I too, like this gentleman, had never experienced a meal deal until I came to the U of K. And I didn't think to make a video about it. I mean, only if I had
4,000 views.
4,000. The thing is about 4,000 views. As two people who post on social media all the time of our comedy clips and our little funnies, if you got 4,000 views, you'd be like, it didn't do very well, did it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they were like, the article is just saying, oh, people were very angry about it. And it literally quoted like 12 comments. And knowing internet ratios,
yeah,
that is all 12 comments.
Yeah.
They've just reposted a TikTok in text format, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not even a successful TikTok.
I'm sorry, can we back up for a moment in your monologue? Millennials are killing mayonnaise, because as a proud millennial lady and a Midwestern America from the Buckeye State, Ohio, mayonnaise lives strong in my house. I make a chicken salad sandwich. It's great. It is what the internet has called white people food. It is chicken, then you cut up some pecans, grapes, and... and celery, and you mix that all in with more mayonnaise than you'd ever want. Salt, pepper, that is, that they don't sell that kind of meal deal at Tesco, and if they did, boy howdy.
Well, I think this is the classic sort of transatlantic. Yeah. I don't know if it'd be allowed to be sold in UK shops, but it does sound amazing.
It's great.
And I think that
imagine a coronation chicken, but bland. It's the only time America has done a more bland version.
That's
of a
your
meal.
Revolutionary chicken. It's yeah, the yeah. getting rid of the coronation.
The curry, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that mayonnaise article, like, oh, millennials, that's just a classic sort of headline fodder. Like, oh, mayonnaise sales are down because millennials aren't buying mayonnaise. My favorite one was, millennials aren't buying diamonds. The diamond trade is in chaos because people under 40 aren't buying diamonds.
We can't even afford a house. Why would we be buying diamonds? And also, like, we have grown up now. Like, we're approaching middle age. Aren't we complaining about Generation Z yet? Like, millennials, we've had it too hard for too long. We were buying too much avocados. That's why we now can't have houses and diamonds. It's like, leave us alone. We're doing our best.
It is an interesting position being a millennial, because I suppose this sort of, like, generational warfare, like millennial boomer, millennial Gen Z, that's not happening, because what would have previously happened because of like age expectancy is the generation above you would have died off and you would have been one of the oldest generations. But no, your boomers and even the silent generation are still alive.
And you know who you didn't name in there? Generation X, which is actually the generation above millennials. And no one complains about them. And they don't care. I think it's because they don't get involved because they're too busy listening to, like, old records of Nirvana. But, like, no one even talks about Generation X. They're the forgotten generation.
Yeah, they really are.
They're the true forgotten generation.
Well, maybe that should be our sort of campaign this week on FUBAR Radio, is let's expose Generation X.
Yeah.
If you're in Gen X, if you hate a Gen Xer, write into the show. Yeah. Let us know what they've been doing wrong.
The sardonic people with their plaid and their ripped jeans and their grunge. They didn't care about anything. That's why we're in this pickle.
Speaking of pickle, I am really fancying a cheese and pickle Tesco. So let's continue post-haste with the show. Obviously, you are here to, as a good friend, I would love you on the show anyway. But you've also got a cheeky little tour to promote.
I do. It is called Legally Cheeky, and I am going out on tour in April through May, starting in Pocklington. It is my show about how me and my partner Tom, who's English, we applied for a partnership visa for me, which is like a marriage visa but more paperwork, and the Home Office rejected my visa, and we had to go to court to fight the Home Office. And did they let me stay? I won't tell you. You'll find out at the end of my tour show.
Yeah, I can't confirm, listener, whether or not Abigail is in the studio. Yeah. She might be on a Zoom link from Ohio.
I could.
You never know. So yes, go check out Abigail's tour. You're going all over the UK. In fact, I've actually got a little quiz for you here.
Oh.
Obviously, you've been a UK resident for a long time now.
This is going to be fun, because I, as we were talking before, produced my own tour, and some of these towns I'm going to are because I love these towns and I love performing in them. And some of them, I just threw a dart at the map and went, that looks fun. And I've never been there. So let's see how much I know.
Well, we're about to separate the darts from the desires as I quiz you on some attractions, right? Okay. I want you to tell me which of your tour cities these attractions are in across the UK, okay? We'll start with the Pitt Rivers Museum. Where on your tour schedule could you find the Pitt Rivers Museum?
So I'm guessing it is a museum about giant holes in the ground and rivers.
It's a pit. So it's not just pit rivers. It's pit and rivers.
Pit and rivers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Birmingham has a lot of canals. Is it in Birmingham?
It is not in Birmingham. It is in Oxford. It is one of Oxford's many museums. It's a very good one. Actually, if you're there in Oxford, I recommend Pitt Rivers. They've got loads of very exciting stuff.
What's actually in the museum? Is it pits and rivers?
No. It's all just like archaeological stuff and like lots of anthropological like finds. They used to have, but obviously morally they've hidden them now, shrunken heads.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's that sort of vibe of stuff and like old sort of canoes and guns and weaponry and everything. And they've also got loads of animals, like stuffed animals.
Things they've dug out of a pit or found in a riverbank. That's it. You touched on something very interesting about the shrunken heads. They don't display them anymore because it's culturally insensitive. But they still have them somewhere. You don't just throw that
away. Where they are.
they're just in the basement now.
Yeah, they are. They're just on private display. Yeah. Carrow Road. We'll do quickfire these last three. Carrow Road. I can tell you this is a football stadium.
Oh gosh, Carrow I know Road. Nothing about football. If I get this wrong, people are going to yell at me and not come to the show in Liverpool?
No, in Norwich, I'm afraid.
Ah!
But don't worry, Norwich is a very cultural, cool city.
Yeah.
They won't bully you for not knowing their football team. Mary Shelley's House of Frankenstein. Now, this is a cultural significance. Apparently, they claim to be the origin of Frankenstein. Which city would you find Mary Shelley's House of Frankenstein? An immersive museum.
I mean, I feel like London has all that stuff, but you couldn't possibly give me a London one.
I will give you a clue. It's not London. I've not given you. If I did a London attraction, I would have done the Shrek experience, obviously.
Yeah, of course, the number one.
Yeah.
Edinburgh.
No,
it's Glasgow, isn't it?
It's Bath.
It's Bath.
Bath. It's not Scottish, I'm afraid. Mary Shelley is a southwestern English belle.
Oh.
Okay, here's an easy one just to end with. Send us into the break. Where is Pocklington Canal?
In Pocklington.
Hey! So yes, go see Aberglyde on tour in any of those four locations, but indeed many more, aberglyde.com/tour for all that information.
Yeah, I'm going to make it a goal now to go to all of these places while I am in these towns and make a little video for the social media. And my goal is to get 4,000 views on each of
4,000 views, that's all we can aspire to. I hope we get 4,000 views on whatever reel.
Then the Daily Mail will write about me, something I've always wanted to happen.
Well, fingers crossed, we'll send the PR email whilst we have our break.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with a cultural icon, a Come Dine With Me legend, just after this short break.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. Now, with us down the line, Kev Riley. I've said before, a legend, a cultural icon from the show Come Dine With Me. Now, Aberglyde, my co-host here, Kev, is an American. Are you familiar with Come Dine With
Me? Yes, I have seen Come Dine With Me. I've seen a couple episodes of it.
Are you? When I told you that Kev was coming on the show, were you aware of his work?
I had missed that episode, but now that I have seen your work, Kev, big fan. Big fan.
So, hello, Kev. How are you doing?
I'm good. She's watched a couple more episodes than me then.
Yes, I heard you were just sort of thrown into the experience. You were signed up by a mate. You didn't even have any sort of knowledge of it.
No, that's true. There was just a guy with a clipboard in Burnley Town Centre, where at the time where I live, and he just signed me up because I had a bit of a reputation back in the day for ping meals and the like. He signed me up and thought it was a bit of a prank, but then when you got a lot of camera crew at you from the door, you realise it wasn't.
Well, we'll come on to what you've been sort of memeified and become famous for, but based on your experience, would you recommend that strangers sign up with clipboard men in the sort of city centres? Do you think that's just take a punt and do it, or would your experience steer you away from signing up from random clipboard men in the future?
I'd need time to think about that, but I suppose 13 years on and I'm still being recognised in the street for selfies, I suppose it's had an impact on my life, whether it's positive or negative, I suppose.
Yes, well, I'll play the famous clip now. So Kev, in an episode of Come Dine With Me, was preparing a cheesecake, a malted milk cheesecake, when this iconic moment happened.
Kev's making two layers for his cheesecake, one with white chocolate, the other with milk chocolate. Very fancy.
See what that tastes like.
Verdict?
Perfect.
Now, that is you tasting your cheesecake with a full whisk, the business end of a whisk, in your mouth.
So,
Kev, do you now have an OnlyFans? Is that what this has launched you into?
No, maybe that'd be an idea. My wife, who's, constantly reminding me that I don't make any money out of this fame. Maybe it should have been something more expensive I put in my mouth, because, you can't really brand a whisk. They're about £2, aren't they, in the local
yes.
shop?
Yeah, you could have I suppose you could just sell your own whisks and just say they're from you. I think so many people would find you iconic that they'd go for that.
I've got the original one here. That's the original one.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow,
that
is so
cool. I feel
so special that I get to look at that.
I thought that might go for a bit on eBay one day. Never mind.
Yeah.
That is, yeah, well, look, get your listeners, email in your bids for Kev's whisk.
So, when you stuck the whole whisk in your mouth, I found it inspiring. Now, did you know that was ridiculous? Do you always taste your baking like that, or were you like, this will be a funny thing to do on camera?
I think I've only baked 3 times in 12 years, so it'd be difficult to say it was a regular thing. But the reason I was doing it is because I was a complete novice on the show. Uh-huh. And the other 3 contestants were fantastic cooks. Not many people watch the entire show, but they just remember it for that one clip. But the 3 other contestants were all really good cooks. And I was struggling, and I had a producer who had a bit of a soft spot for me, and she was even chopping up my veg in the when the cameras were on.
Oh, no.
And I was doing it to make her laugh. I just shouted her and just put the whisk in the mouth. And then it was only when I saw the camera crew and stuff laughing and that I realised it was a moment. Then I forgot about it until the show went on TV. We all met in my father-in-law's local pub to watch it on telly. And then from then, it's just been never ending.
Never ending,
wow.
Indeed. That's an important life lesson there, is that reality TV producers, as nice as they may seem, they're always looking for a moment. So you've got to be careful what you give up.
That's so endearing, though, that you were like just trying to make your friend laugh in the moment. And then you're like, oh, no, there are cameras. Like, yeah. Oh.
I think it's a very lovable moment. I'm obsessed with you. As are many people. Your face appeared on a flag in Glastonbury, at the Glastonbury Festival during Coldplay's headline set. Yeah, you were there. How does that feel to be sort of paraded around as an icon?
Well, that was a surreal moment because, in my pastime, I'm a DJ.
Mm.
So I was DJing at a local festival called Briarcliff Festival, and I came home from that to sit on the settee with my ears ringing, flick BBC on, and Glastonbury was on, and my favourite band, Coldplay, are playing, and then all of a sudden, I'm sort of falling asleep, and then my phone's just pinging non-stop, and then I realised why, rewound it a few minutes, and there I am. So I can now advertise as seen on stage with Coldplay at Glastonbury.
Now, obviously, you say people didn't really watch the episode. They just remember this sort of moment that's endured. I'm wondering, because I've not gone back and watched the episode, was the cheesecake good? For all your efforts, did you actually put out a good malted milk cheesecake?
Yeah. I mean, I made it with malted biscuits rather than the normal digestive. There was 3 cheesecakes on the episode, though. All of them good. I named it after my daughter, Millie, who's... she was like... really, really young at the time, like a baby. And now she's 12 going on 13, and she's it's her friends that recognize me, which is really surreal. Because TikTok, it's like a TikTok thing, isn't it? Now there's someone pretending to be me on TikTok that's got 1 million followers, I think, and that's not me. So as long as that person doesn't put out anything naughty, I'm all right with that.
Yes, if they start your OnlyFans career before you, yeah, that would be bad.
But it's a nice thing. But the cheesecake was, yeah, it was good at the time, but I remember it going quite hard quickly. I think we were using it as a doorstop by the end of the year.
Oh, well, look, it is so strange just to have... I imagine it must be so surreal to have this thing enduring and it all pop up and have its new life because of TikTok and stuff like that. But what's the best thing that's come out of it? Because, we've had a few sort of viral stars, and before we had the Glaswegian Sad Oompa Loompa and people like that. They've sort of managed to spin some positives. Has there been something really nice that's come out of this virality?
I spoke to... I did things that, the average fella from Burnley won't do. I spoke to, obviously, Diversity on their radio show. Yourself's obviously a highlight.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I did an advert for Ritz Crackers, where, I got to meet, Joel Dummett on shows and things like that. So there's been some nice sides of it.
Good.
And then bumping into people who have my face on jumpers and socks... That's always really surreal.
Socks? Wow. I feel like you've made it when you go onto a sock.
Yeah.
A jumper, obvious place to put a face, but when people are like, I need you on my ankles, that's when you're famous.
Well, there's someone got a tattoo of me as well.
Whoa!
No way. Mid-whisk, I assume.
Yeah. And I'm not sure whether it's an arm or a thigh. I didn't want to be rude and ask, but... But it was... Yeah, bed sheets there is. If you actually type in whisk guy and then click on shopping, there are some strange items that people have put the image on.
And are you making any money on that? Have you thought about trademarking your own image?
Well, this is me. This is the business. I'm on the Cameo app where people were doing the happy birthdays and things like that. There's a modicum amount of money on that, but nothing that really probably, you know, when I spoke to Rob Beckett about it when I was on his show, he said somebody with that many, you know, hits on a YouTube, he said over 150 million or whatever, it should, I should have at least had a nice car or holiday out of it.
Yeah, well, we'll encourage everyone to please go to Kev's Cameo and support him. I found the bed sheets. Guess how much they are. How much would you pay for a pair of Whiskey bed sheets?
I mean,
queen size.
I got it. Okay, I'm going to assume that because, Kev, you did not endorse these sheets yourself, the thread count's not that good. So I'm going to guess they're $19.99.
They are £101.
What? Kev, you got to trademark your image, bro.
Yeah,
you're leaving money on the table.
Even if you don't want a Cameo, go get a Cameo because Kev is a legend. He's endured recognition without the money. So go support him. Get a Whiskey Cameo. What's been your best Cameo request? Any sort of highlights?
Oh, I get some strange ones that appear at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, asking me to do stuff, which I don't do because I want to mention some of the things. But it's I have to be wary that these are not necessarily private messages and they're going to end up in lads' WhatsApp chats and things like that. But I've done them. Someone requested me to do them at football stadiums, and if Burnley, my team, has been there, I've done them.
Nice.
But yeah, I've had lots of fun with it. And, you know, as long as it always stays fun, it's a good laugh.
Good. And amazing that you have better broadcast training than many BBC presenters, knowing that things on the internet are permanent restricting yourself. Cool. Yeah, go check out Kev's Cameo. Thank you so much for talking to us, Kev. I hope Burnley continue their good run of form and can keep conceding no goals. Have a lovely, lovely rest of your week.
Thank you very much. Speak to you soon, guys. Thanks.
Cheers, Kev. Bye-bye. What a lovely, lovely man.
He's so sweet. I think he should. I really do think he should make his own bed sheets, though, and call them hashtag Kev's version.
Hashtag Kev's version. Oh, like Taylor Swift sort of style. This is good. Hashtag Kev's version.
Yeah.
Kev, get on your own merchandise.
Yeah.
Do you know what? My main takeaway from whenever we have these viral guests is I just go, what a lovely, lovely person.
Yeah.
They're just so normal and like grounded.
Yeah.
And this mad thing has happened to them. Right. Well, we're going to be back after the break with our brilliant guest, Nick Helm. But before then, are you a Facebook dweller, Abigail?
I am currently not using the Facebook so much anymore.
I think that's sensible.
I am excited to relive why I no longer go on Facebook.
Well, this is the worst of Facebook, arguably, sort of local forums, starting with Caversham. I have no idea where Caversham is, but this poor victim has had a boy urinate through my letterbox this morning. I woke up and saw my dog licking it off the floor. If I find out who that was, I will piss on their nan's face.
Wow.
So a lot of piss on piss violence here. How does that... So immediately, you've jumped back into Facebook. You've been away for a while.
Right.
How does this make you feel, this sort of...
I mean, again, this is something that could be on OnlyFans. I'm not going to lie.
I hope there's some terms of services against
so
that.
There's so much hate in this. Like, who do you dislike so much that you'd piss through their letterbox? And who do you dislike so much that you wouldn't get back at them by pissing on them, but you'd piss on their nan's face? Mm. Their nan, who didn't do anything.
Well, we assume... So they say a boy. We assume a boy. I imagine it would be hard logistically for a woman to...
I mean, I think she'd have to do a whole straddle on the letterbox. It would be, if it's a woman, color me impressed, and I am on your side, lady.
If it's a woman, you get off scot-free for achieving this.
The logistics alone, I think you should get an award for it. Maybe an OBE, I don't know.
And then, well, here you go, look, there's some honours on the way for this Caversham letterbox pisser.
Yeah.
But let's head into another group now. And this is actually local, and I found this one myself. This is in Ringwood, and this just fascinated me. So Ringwood is in Hampshire, Dorset sort of borders. It's like middle England, absolutely nothing going on there sort of racially, culturally, and nothing exciting. But this post is a mislaid parcel. No idea who Hong Kong Helen is. DM me if you know who it is, and you can have it. So they've received a package not intended for them, but for Hong Kong Helen. What a mystery. Who is Hong Kong Helen?
Okay, hear me out. You know how if you meet someone at a party and you get their number, but you don't really know them, or maybe like you're dating someone and you put them in as like Jared...
Bumble,
Jared Bumble or Jared from the pub. I think this person met a woman named Helen in Hong Kong and put her details in as that, clearly wrongly, and now just is like,
she's
it's
Hong Kong Helen forever.
Hong Kong Helen.
Wow, it's fascinating. I'd love to know who Hong Kong Helen is and get to the middle of it. I'll go back to this forum maybe, and next week I'll tell you if we found Hong Kong Helen and know the backstory behind it.
Yeah.
This is a poor grandmother who's posted on a Facebook message, all the best for today. I will be thinking of you. Lots of love. Granny, XXX. Now, this is an unfortunate thing that's happened to all of us. You put a dot in the wrong place and it becomes a URL. So Granny has put a dot in between Granny and XXX to get granny.xxx, which is a link, and there is a preview of that link for Chatterbait Granny Sex. Yeah.
Wow.
That this poor lovely granny just wanted to wish their grandson or granddaughter a good luck with whatever's happening in their life, and they actually sent them a sex cams website.
You know what's weird about granny sex .xxx is if you go onto it, you can see a man pissing on a nan's face.
There you go. Maybe it's all come full circle.
All full circle.
Now, I've been trying to fit this into the show for we keep cutting it for time, but we finally, you're the lucky person to play this quiz. So this is a crisp wall.
Okay.
It is a sort of wooden structure with strings, and then you attach crisps to the strings. It's intended for weddings. Right, so it says in the description, handmade crisp ball went down a tree at our wedding, comes with wooden pegs and white hearts on them. Crisps not included. This is crucial. So it can probably fit about, I don't know, what's that, 70
84
crisps?
Packets.
84. Oh, 84. Yeah, I should have just kept reading.
End, yeah.
84 packets, and the crisps are not included.
Okay,
how much would you pay for this crisp ball? It's just a bit of wood and string ultimately at the end of the day.
Okay, same as the sheets, $19.99.
This person wanted £49 for their crisp ball.
You could make this yourself.
Yeah.
You could just also tack crisps on an actual wall.
Yeah.
Bit of string. This is not
a clothes horse.
Yeah.
Anything. You could just throw some crisps around the place. And also, I think this is tacky at a wedding. I appreciate not everyone wants like sweets and cheese and stuff, but I think crisps at a wedding, that's, put them in a bowl, decant them, Christ, have some decorum.
I went to a wedding once that actually gave crisps out at, like, you know, before the meal was served, as like a little snacky thing. But they came in like a cute little bag, like like a paper bag, like you had a packed lunch and you opened it up and there was some crisp in there and a can of beer. It was nice. It was nice.
That's cute. I liked it. I like that. This just looks like a display at a corner shop.
Yeah, this does. This is not. This is not the dream.
And it's, I wouldn't,
not
pay £49.
Yeah, £49.
Also, what a weirdly specific number.
Yeah.
We'll just end on this. This is from Wigston. Spot looking for a cash and hand job around Wigston. This obviously meant to say cash in hand job, but they've never heard it or seen it written out, and it just says cash and hand job. And I think ultimately that's all we want in life, cash and a hand job.
I mean, you know what? Manifest what you want in the world. And they've done that.
Good luck to this Wigston person seeking under the table, tax-free work. We're going to head into a break. We'll be right back with the brilliant Nick Helm.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. With me in the studio, my brilliant co-host, Abhigail Sharman. And joining us, returning to FUBAR Radio, Nick Helm. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Yeah. What's it like to be back?
I couldn't get in.
You couldn't get in?
And that was always the case, yeah.
You were just always just banging at the door.
There isn't a doorbell anymore, right?
Right.
On the side.
There used to be a...
There's like wires sticking out of like this metal box. And and I was ringing it and I was just like, no one's getting there. Unless the wires are for the light in the kind of like the name like section. So yeah, FUBAR... Yeah, so getting into FUBAR, that's fairly similar because you had to sort of like wait to get in. Now we're in here. You used to have next door over here, but you don't have that anymore. It's all over there.
Yeah.
And you've got these metal things that you put in.
Oh, yeah, it's a little metal truss.
All of these lights are new.
Yes, I was going to say, so once all the comedians left, there was a shift towards like lots of reality TV.
Oh, right,
and of course, they need to be well lit and look good.
Of course.
Whereas they sort of just let you troll about in the darkness.
Well, it's really, it is really good. I remember that when the pandemic hit, I was doing my show with Nathaniel Metcalf here. So basically, I'm responsible for FUBAR. Keeping going during the pandemic.
God bless you and Godspeed for that.
I take all full credit for that.
You're right, though, because during the pandemic, nobody was doing anything. So you could get the most amazing guests because they weren't too busy.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, sure.
It was, yeah, we had great, well, yeah, no, we had Johnny Vegas, and he came on and he told the story about when he was just about to go on stage, when he was just about to get, do you know this story?
No, tell me.
Do you know Johnny Vegas?
Yes, yes.
So he's just about to go on stage, and he's mid-90s, and he's all the judges are in for the Perrier Award, which is what it was then. And he's just about to go on stage, and he needs to go to the toilet. And there's him backstage, and then there's a curtain, and then there's the audience. So he goes for a shit in a pipe of Pringles.
And you don't want that on your crossbow wedding.
Folds the lid down, puts it in his pocket, goes out, wins the Perrier Award. So he told that story. And then I think either the Mirror or the Mail, they wrote an article about it.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, all of a sudden, our little FUBAR show was getting kind of like national coverage. And then Jason Manford came on and he told a story about driving a van during the pandemic. And that made it onto, that made it into like the national paper. So we got some really good gear.
Are you a newsy person though? Do you keep up with what's happening in the world?
Blake Lively, Donald Trump, Elon Musk. Well, it's you go into this rabbit warren, you know. I started off with Star Wars. I didn't like The Last Jedi. I didn't know how I felt about it. Started going on YouTube to find out what other people thought about The Last Jedi. And now, you know, 8 years later, I'm deep within right-wing propaganda.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're actually, you can't, obviously, because it's not on YouTube, thankfully for you, because you're actually wearing a swastika right now.
I am.
You've gone full.
I've done my moustache as well, especially. But that was more of a Charlie Chaplin thing.
Yes, your two loves, Charlie Chaplin and the Nazis. So yeah, so you've got a broad sort of coverage of the news, but maybe you've not seen these headlines.
Right.
This is sort of a fill-in-the-blanks game, classic contrivance. See if you can fill in the missing word from this recent headline. We'll start with this one. Scottish students urged by school to fill in questionnaire about which of their peers was the biggest blank. So this is a questionnaire sent to students in a Scottish school, and one of the questions is, who, even your classmates, is the biggest blank?
Is there multiple choice?
I can do multiple choice if that's what you want.
And can I just, you know, up top, is the point of this section to have a bit of fun?
Yes,
or the whole show.
Or is the point of this section to get it right?
There's no points, so it's for a bit of fun.
Okay, that's where I'm going to struggle.
You're more about points, yeah.
Yeah. What do they think the biggest? What do you think?
The biggest wanker.
Biggest wanker?
Mm.
You think along those lines?
I was along those lines, yes.
Yeah, well, you're very close. Biggest bitch.
Biggest bitch?
Yeah, Vale Leven Academy asked questions like, who's the biggest bitch? Who has the best bum? Who's most likely to be arrested? And who's most likely to go missing? This is for 15, 16-year-olds.
Who's more likely to go missing?
Wait, the school did this or the students the at school
the school? Sent this out to the students. I guess for like some sort of yearbook thing.
Yeah.
Go on, what are the options again?
Who's the biggest bitch? Who has the best bum? Most likely to be arrested, most likely to go missing.
That's what the faculty.
Yeah, the school sent out.
So in America, we have this at the end of like senior graduation, most likely to be president and all that. Never the words bitch or sexualizing people. I will say Greenville, Ohio, class of 2004, worst dressed. You're looking at her right here.
I was just thinking how much I like your shirt.
Really? Oh, not a great. I was ahead of my time.
Yeah.
I was ahead of my time.
You've got very complimentary sort of skeletal skull tops on at the moment.
That's the future.
But that's
literally
the future for all of us. Yeah.
That's bonkers to be able to, like, the teachers are getting you to rate each other's asses.
Yeah, that is mad.
That is not.
Oh, well, that's why I made the headlines. It was so parents were very angry.
I suppose, that's why we've heard about it, because it's awful.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, you kind of want to be like, I hope I have the best bum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this gives you an excuse.
Are the teachers voting, though, or the students?
Because the students. The students are filling in the questionnaire. Yeah. If it's the teachers, that's.
But one creepy teacher is like,
I'm going to save
Charlotte.
Time. There's so many bums to get through. I'm just going to save time. I'm going to let them whittle it down.
Yeah, yeah.
To peer, a top
peer
10.
Reviewed. Yeah. Well, the weird thing is, I say I assume it's for a yearbook. The article didn't actually say it was for a yearbook. So this could just be a teacher's personal sort of spreadsheeting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how he grades on the curve.
Who got the least votes for bitch and the most votes for bum, and they're the least likely to yell about anything, I guess.
Wow.
You wouldn't do that in a place of work. Why would you do that for kids?
Yeah, yeah, horrible. So yeah, for Vale of Leaven Academy, here at Fubar, we echo the anger of parents. That is ridiculous.
Publicly. We condemn it.
Yeah, privately.
Yeah.
Send us the list. this is a TikTok trend in the headlines now. Warning over TikTok trend that saw Bolton lad drop toaster and air fryer on blank. So he's dropped a toaster and an air fryer on something. What has he been dropping?
All right. I did the first one. What do you think it is?
On a car off a bridge.
Car off a bridge, yeah, classic. It is off. A self-inflicted onto something.
Onto.
It's a self-inflicted onto. Injury, I will say.
Air fryer and a toaster.
Okay, so I was going to go with like their cat, but they've hurt themselves doing it.
Yeah.
So they threw a toaster and an air fryer onto their dick. I feel like mine are very like sexually orientated, but yeah, did they throw it onto their dick?
Or they threw it on, no, yeah, dick.
Well, yeah, it's actually the foot onto a foot. As part of a TikTok trend, hashtag dropping things on my foot. That is the trend that's going around the kids at the moment, hashtag dropping things on my foot.
There were a lot of trends, right? It used to be kind of like we'd have like the ice bucket challenge that was like, yeah, right, that went on for months, and then there was the statue one.
Yeah.
Was that during lockdown? That was during lockdown, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
Oh, yes, yeah, the statue one.
But fucking, yeah, now it's like
there's
all the time.
So many at one time. Is it really a trend? You know what I mean? Like if everyone hasn't heard of it.
Yeah.
And well, also if all I have to do is drop some stuff on my foot to get views, I am working way too hard.
Yeah.
What is the heaviest thing?
I mean, that's what it is, isn't it? It's depressing.
Yeah, it is very depressing. But that being said,
I've also, my voice is like that Winnie the Pooh voice where it's all a bit,
Oh bother.
Yeah. Very Eeyore.
I'll try and change gears. Hey! Hey, guys!
Hey,
here we are, FUBAR Radio!
That's some classic radio stuff.
Yeah.
Do a little like radio like intro and I'll play the stab for you. Go on.
Coming up after these.
Just press the button.
Coming up after these messages.
FUBAR Radio.
Good stuff. That is good stuff.
Yes, here he is. The Axeman's back.
Right. I was just going to say, what's the biggest thing you'd be willing to drop on your foot for internet fame?
Oh, well, I dropped a fucking... Oh, my God. I dropped a fucking... I bought this huge fucking desk. It's like a... It's a mixing desk. So there's like a musical keyboard underneath it. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm mixing, but I wanted a huge desk so I could put everything out when I was working. And all I did was I stored books on it. And I was taking it apart and it's got like scaffolding legs that you like have to like... The fucking table was like leaning up against the thing and it slid and it dropped and it went on my foot. Ooh. And I was convinced I'd broken it. It was like one of those things where it wasn't like a sharp pain that was there and it went. It was like bang. And then it hurt for like 15, 20 minutes. I was thinking, that's it, I've broken my foot. Yeah. But I was fine in the end. So, you know.
Oh, good.
Not all stories have to end in doom and gloom.
Yeah. Bit of positivity,
good.
Actually.
Good.
Okay, well, on that positive note then, maybe we'll head into our debate.
It was a really heavy table.
Yeah.
That's all. I'm just saying it. But what? Why? Why? What's the debate about dropping stuff on our feet?
No, we're segueing into it.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah. I didn't want to sort of take you off on a tangent there, and then we forgot where we started.
No, that's all right. I remember where we started with hashtag dropping things on my feet. Trend.
Yeah, good.
So our final section is always like a sort of debate discussion about something in the news recently, and this caught my eye in of all places. The glorious Daily Mail. I couldn't actually read the article because it was in the Mail Plus, and as much as I'll give them my viewership, I won't give them my ad money. Now this is a question from Vicky Raynall. Can I pay less when I go out for dinner because I'm vegetarian? So she says that her meal is always cheapest, but her friends want to split the bill equally. How do we feel about sort of equitable bill splitting? What would you do in this situation? You've not bought as much, but people want to split equally.
I hate the bill bit. I think it's because it's like you're all having a nice time and then the bill comes and then everyone sort of like acts surprised, like they didn't know it was coming.
I mean, I've been out with people when it's like, oh, should we just split it down the middle? Because it's like $3 or $4 either way. But like, I also have friends and have been the friend where it's like, okay, so you had the pasta primavera and that was $13 and I had the steak tartare, which was $37 and you know that you don't split it equally. Like, people have, there is a calculator in everybody's phone. You could sit there and do the maths pretty easily. She has bad friends.
Yeah, I think that if you're drinking and the other person isn't drinking and you know you've had three beers and they've had one Coke, then you kind of like go, yeah, well, I'll pay an extra, whatever, 20, 10 quid, you know?
Yeah.
But like you round it up. If you're with like mates, then you kind of like split it. If you've all had a starter and whatever, you'd split it. But I think that when it gets down to like one-on-one or if it's, I don't know. Normally, I feel so embarrassed about the situation that I pay for. I pay for everything.
Would you like to go out to lunch with us after? We were going to go get Tesco meal deals.
Yeah, all right. I can afford that. Yeah, but do you know what I mean? It's sort of like I find it so embarrassing and it's such an awkward thing. I've got such a low tolerance for that stuff. I normally sort of like, you know, I don't panic. Mm. But the other thing is kind of like, you know, someone says that they'll pay.
Yeah.
And then they just fuck around with their fucking wallet for like 3 minutes. And you're like, they're right there. So I end up just paying to just sort of like, like, it's like, are you delaying the inevitable?
Yeah.
Or are you basically just fucking around so long that it's unbearable to the point that I'll end up paying?
Do you guys have a friend who picks up the check a lot? Like, Angela Barnes and I are good friends and we'll go out. And she's picked up the check so many times. I'm like, I now just, like, you're not my auntie. Let me do it once. She's like, no worries, I got it. She picks up the check like 90% of the time.
Yeah.
She's a good friend, fabulous person. Yeah. But does that make you uncomfortable when you're like, oh, you've done it too much. Let me get in there. Let me get in there and do one. And they're like, no. Because they're gracious, lovely people.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make me uncomfortable. I have a friend who Max Fulham, who previously co-hosted the show, and he does Panto every year and he does cruises and stuff. And, you know, I've been privy to how much he makes and it's a lot more than me, so I'm happy for him to pick up the bill.
Yeah.
The other thing they started doing in England is that they, because you do the
tap.
It's the like, optional, hey, do you want to add a 12.5% for the fact that they've just got you kind of like a rum and coke? And you're like, yeah, not really. But they watch you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they watch you go like 12.5%, 10%, 5%, nothing.
Yeah.
And then you just like go, you have to, or, you know, you make eye contact with them and you just press nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Mm. Or I like, because it's normally worded as like, not today. I sort of feel like a superhero, like stepping in to stop a villain. Not today. No, I refuse to give up extra money for, well, because the McDonald's do it as well. They like wrap, you know, round up your total for charity.
No, there should not be tipping in McDonald's. I'm sorry.
I rounded up for charity last night. Yeah, it was only 16p, but, you know, 16. I felt it.
Yeah. Well, look, he's a good, generous man. He's absolutely a moderniser, an innovator. And he's been a brilliant guest today. I'm doing a segue into the end now. You look a bit befuddled, as if I was like, why am I being complimented?
He's talking about you, Nick.
I just feel like it's just raced by so quickly. I was bracing myself for like, but actually, it was just effortless today. Yeah. Thanks, guys, for making this.
It was a lot of fun.
If you were servers, I wouldn't even question that.
Aww.
What a lovely ending. Well, look, this radio show is brought to you for free. You can just tune in any time you want. You can catch up on podcasts. If you would like to tip us, the best way to do that would be to follow us on social media. Keep up to track with what we're doing. Abigolia at Abigolia, Abigolia, and abigolia.com/tour for your upcoming spring tour.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, you are at the Nick Helm.
I am on Instagram, but I'm not really on anything else.
And I enjoy all your tales on Instagram, especially your Pepsi Max cherry updates.
Thank you very much.
You can follow the radio station at FUBAR Radio. You can follow me at Stand Up Andrew. If you want to follow Kev Riley, the whisk guy from Come Down With Me, it is at Whisk Guy Official. I'll be honest, it's mostly just his family photos, so that might be weird, but there it is if you want it. Otherwise, tune in next week. Give us a rating and subscribe. One more last word from Nick Helm.
I should say that I'm on tour at the end of the year. I think we're going to start releasing the tickets at some point in March.
Well, there you go. Okay. Go to at the Nick Helm. Keep an eye out for the March release of his next tour. I saw the last one. It was very, very funny. Abigail, also very, very funny.
Oh, thank you.
You can't go wrong.
And Andrew White, also very, very, very funny.
What a lovely little love-in we've had.
Yeah.
And see you next week.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.